There is our doctrinal statement. It is Article I. If you have your church doctrinal statement with you that we passed out some months ago. Are we ready to read it together? Don't go to the scriptures, just what's up on the screen, the big letters. We believe that once a person has truly been born again, they cannot lose their salvation. Although they may commit sin and grieve the process of sanctification, which sins are not to be viewed lightly, their eternal life is still theirs as a gift of God and not gained or kept by works. Thank you. Let us this morning begin by looking at John chapter 10, verse 28. And while I'm putting it up on the screen, I want you to be looking at it in your Bible and compare, because as I've already said to you, I'm using what is called the literal translation of the Holy Bible. So some of the wording is a little bit different on the screen than what it says, but the message is no different. John 10, 28. And I give life to them, and they shall not perish to the age, never. And not anyone shall pluck them out of my hand. Now I remind you that that's the literal translation. Now I read it to you in my Bible. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. Or the old King James says, pluck them out of my hand. I want you to think about the hand of God for just a moment. Now there's some guys in this church that have some incredible hands, both in size and in strength. And I want some little child to come along and pry a penny out of their hand if they hold it tight. Impossible. Now I want you to notice what it says in that passage. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. Who's doing the speaking? Jesus. Look at verse 29. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. All right, what do we got here? We got Jesus holding us. We got the Father holding Jesus and us. Now you say, isn't the devil equal with Jesus? Absolutely not. The devil is an angel. Who created angels? God. By the way, he created them all holy. But he also gave them a will, apparently. And about a third of them chose to follow Satan in his rebellion. Revelation chapter 12, verse 4 and on. So never, ever assume that Satan and Jesus are equal in force, strength, ability, knowledge, creativity, etc. They are not the same. It's not a good one and a bad one. It's not a good son and a bad son. Now you say, well, I've heard that that's true. Yeah, I know. There are cults that teach that. But that's not what the Bible teaches, folks. Satan is a created being. Jesus is God. The Father is God, eternal God. And I give unto them, what kind of life, everybody? Eternal. How long does that last? For eternity. Forever and ever and ever without end. Amen? Amen. Now we all know this next verse. And that's a little different than what you memorized it, but let's say it the way we memorized it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Notice the perish part. We will not perish. But God has given to us everlasting life. I'm going to say this. The word that is translated everlasting in our good old King James is the same word that is translated eternal other places. So whether you translate it everlasting or you translate it eternal, it doesn't matter. It's the same Greek word and it means the same thing. Notice, if you will, in verse 15 of John 3. We all know John 3:16, but look at verse 15. That whosoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. Identical, same Greek words. Eternal life, translated eternal life in one verse, everlasting life in the other verse, and you say, why? Because those dear old English translators back in 1611, they like variety. And the King James Version is full of spice. Now some of you are just content to use salt and pepper. But I want you to know there's some other spices out there that some people have learned to use in place of salt and pepper, to spice things up a little bit. Or as Emil Lagasse would say, bam! Give it a little bit more. Romans chapter 8, verse 38 and 39. What are we doing? We're using scripture to support our doctrinal statement. Romans chapter 8. One tremendous chapter in your Bible. There are some chapters that ought to be special to you. John 14. Romans 8. Romans 12. 1 Corinthians 15, the resurrection chapter. 1 Corinthians 13, the love chapter. Those are chapters that ought to be special to you. All right, Romans chapter 8, verse 38 and 39. For I am persuaded, did I give it to you? Yes, I did. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height. You afraid of heights? Nor depth. You afraid of going under the sea? Nor any other creature. And some translations put that created thing. No other created thing. That would include the devil, wouldn't it? He's a created thing. Will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now some of those things were angels. Some of those things were government layers. Chains of command. Nor any created thing can separate you from the love of God. Let's look at another one. Time's running out. And I'm going to put two together real quick. Philippians 1:6. Being persuaded of this very thing, that the one having begun a good work in you will finish it until the day of Jesus Christ. A little different than your King James, I know, but same message. And then you go to 1 Thessalonians 5:24. Faithful is the one calling you, who also will perform it. Those two verses go together very nicely, don't they? Having been persuaded of this very thing, that the one having begun a good work in you, who is that one who began a good work in you? You look in the context of Philippians chapter 1, it's talking about Jesus Christ. And so he's begun a good work in you and he's going to finish it under the day of Jesus Christ. When is that? When he comes to take you home to heaven. That's when it's finished. God is going to take you through. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13 and 14. in whom, that is Jesus Christ, our Redeemer, in whom also having heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also believing you were sealed. What's it mean to seal something? Well, if you've ever canned, you know that you put the lid on and then you put the thing in the boiling water and you put it in a boiling bath of water for a period of time. Or as my mother did and as we did as younger people in our marriage, we put everything in a big pressure canner. And when you got done, whatever you'd put in that jar was sealed. That lid was sealed tight. You had to pry it off with an instrument, a tool, a knit, in order to get to what the goodies were you had sealed inside. Now, there's another way to put a seal, and that is to close the flap on the envelope with a lick. And that seals the envelope. There's another kind of seal that is common in our country and in the world, and that is to put an impression on a piece of paper with a crimping tool that embosses an official seal of the lawyer or some other person of an official nature. That's also called a seal. Guess what the Holy Spirit does? Both. He not only preserves us so we can't spoil, but he puts the imprint of God in our heart. We are his. And what did it say in John? No man is able to pluck them out of my hand. Why? I'm held. There's a song about that, I'm sure. Who is the earnest? Verse 14, which means guarantee. Who is the earnest? Talking about the Holy Spirit. He sealed us. He is the guarantee of our inheritance to the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. Chapter 4, verse 30. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed to the day of redemption. When is the day of redemption? Romans chapter 8 tells us, right? It says the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, if children and then heirs, heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, we may also be glorified together. When is that? At the rapture. At the rapture. One last verse, and then we're done. 2 Timothy 1:12. For this cause, Paul writing to Timothy. Paul is in jail, awaiting his execution. He's actually in a dungeon. Paul is in the dungeon. He says, for this cause I also suffer these things. You don't think he suffered? Suffered cold. He suffered privation. He said, for I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to guard my deposit. What was deposited? Huh? What was deposited? My soul for safekeeping in the hands of God. And he is able to guard my deposit. That's me, the real me. Not the old body that's wearing out, but the me, the you, the real you, the soul, the spirit. We were put into the hands of God, and we are guarded until that day when we are caught up to meet our Lord in the air. Amen. God's people, do you know now that if you're saved, you're kept? You can't be lost if you've really been saved. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much for your Son, Jesus, our Savior. We thank you so much this morning that Christ died for our sins, that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the scriptures. And so, Lord, the New Testament witnesses to the statements of the Old Testament. And the Old Testament witnesses to the truths of the New Testament. And we thank you, Father, for the whole book. And we thank you that we know that from Genesis to Revelation, you are God. And you have saved us, and you are leading us, and you are guiding us, and you're protecting us, and you're keeping us. Yes, Lord, sometimes we stray. Sometimes we may stray big time. But thank you, Lord, you bring us back. You grab us by the nape of the neck, and you pull us back into line. And God, if you haven't done that and you need to, then please do it to us. And keep us close to you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.